U.S. leaders have actually abandoned any kind of traditional diplomacy. You know, traditional diplomacy is a process of give and take. In traditional diplomacy, you have a proposal, a counterproposal. You may pull back your ambassador to show your negotiators, to show you displeased that it's not working. You come back, you bluster, you bluff, you harangue, you make a new set of proposals, you bring in more mediation, you reach maybe even for your sword, but you never pull it from the scabbard. You come away finally with a solution which might leave both sides satisfied, one side perhaps more dissatisfied than the other, but never to the point of being forced to war. That's what traditional diplomacy was about. It was this way of trying to stop conflicts short of war. U.S. diplomacy is something else. U.S. diplomacy makes traditional diplomacy really look good. The goal, as it was done in Vietnam, as it was done against Nicaragua, as it was done against Iraq, as it's done against Yugoslavia, the method is to issue a set of demands. The demands are treated as non-negotiable. This is what you're going to have to do. Although to the American people and in the media, they're called accords. They're called agreements, as the Rambouillet agreements. Those weren't agreements, those were ultimatums. And by the way, Milosevic accepted every one of the Rambouillet agreements except one, the one which said that foreign troops could come in and occupy all of Kosovo, and then there was a hidden subsection which not many people knew about, which said, and they would have the right to move into any part of Yugoslavia, anywhere else, at any time at their own discretion. It was a total surrender to a foreign occupation, and this was the unacceptable thing. The other side's resistance or even hesitancy in accepting these U.S. offers and proposals and agreements and accords, the other side's hesitancy is treated as an unwillingness to negotiate in good faith. It's announced that U.S. leaders are running out of patience. It's announced that the other side is stonewalling and snubbing these offers that we're making. And so U.S. leaders finally have no other recourse, having shown almost a Christ-like patience. They now have nothing left that they can do but bomb this other country and start killing large numbers of its men, women, and children. And as Bill Clinton says, you can blame all those deaths on Milosevic. That's right. He's the cause of it all. If he did exactly what we said when he was supposed to, this wouldn't have happened. And the side that resists and is hesitant is labeled as war criminals. Let me read to you, I'm winding it down, but let me just, two more things I want to say, a few more things. Let me just read to you a statement that I got on the internet from a woman who is a member of the Greens party in Belgrade. This is what she writes about the bombing. Now this is already a month old, it's gotten much worse. Serbia is one of the greatest sources of underground waters in Europe, and the contamination from U.S. explosives and depleted uranium will be felt in the whole surrounding area all the way to the Black Sea. NATO is bombing factories. The workers in the greater part of our great industrial complexes have decided to make a living wall around their working places. They're doing this not only to defend their country, but because they have become so impoverished by the years of sanctions that the destruction of factories would mean condemnation to a poverty equal to death. In other words, these workers are trying to defend the only thing they have left, which is their social capital, the factories. NATO chooses extremely dangerous targets. And then she goes on about nuclear reactors, nuclear waste storage places that have been getting close to being hit, petrochemical factories where the fumes are escaping, artificial fertilizers. The municipality of Baric has also been hit with the great complex for the production of chloride, which is using Bhopal technology. You remember what happened in Bhopal, 4,000 people died horrible deaths, respiration, in Bhopal, India. from that industrial accident. It's not necessary for me to explain what the blowing up of one of such factories represents. Not only Belgrade, which is situated 10 kilometers distance, would be endangered, but the rest of Europe too. On the second day in the Belgrade suburbs, a factory for the chemical production and a rocket fuel storage was hit, causing toxification of the entire surrounding area. Four national parks were hit. all members of the International Association of the National Reservations. You have to realize that Yugoslavia is among 13 of the world's richest biodiversity countries. And then she goes on to talk about the different cultural places. It has one of the richest film archives in the world that's been destroyed. Medieval Orthodox churches, monasteries, which are centuries old, and candidates for UNESCO heritage lists have been hit, and so forth and so on. And then she goes on to describe the terrible effect on children, elderly people, and all. Besides the actual killings, a lot of people are dying because the normal patterns of life and life support systems are being destroyed. When you hit, you might see it in the paper, NATO is boasting that they're hitting the electricity systems in Yugoslavia. When you hit electricity, you are committing an act of chemical warfare because the electricity systems are the only way you get water in any modern developed society. You need electricity to get water to you. If you don't have water, people need water to live. They need it to drink, they need it for cooking, they need it for cleaning themselves, they need it for waste disposal. With the warm weather coming up, and you wouldn't believe it here in Seattle, but with the warm weather coming up, there will be typhoid and typhus and this kind of stuff will break out. That's what's happening in Iraq. That's why people were dying there. You see, there's two kinds of bombings that's going on. There's a saturation bombing or carpet bombing. World War II, we used to call it saturation bombing. Carpet bombing was just killing people, but there is surgical strikes also. They are targeting these things. They're targeting, they've learned in Iraq, they learned it very well, that you can destroy the life support systems of the society. And when you do that, you make war, total war, upon the population. And that is what is happening. She goes on to say, I am deeply convinced that I am speaking in the name of all the citizens of Yugoslavia when I say that we have the capabilities and the political will to find a solution for the Kosovo problem. If we are allowed to seek the solution together with the Albanians, and if we take into consideration the fact that all of us have the right to participate in this solution. All one-sidedness and media manipulation are part of the mechanism bringing suffering, destruction, and death. By the way, there's 100,000 Albanians living in Belgrade. In Belgrade themselves, they have their own stores in Albania and all that sort of thing. And they're getting hit too. I want to read one other thing. This was written by Tom Watson. Anybody know who Tom Watson was? 100 years ago he wrote this, in 1898. Tom Watson was an American populist. He was governor of Georgia and a U.S. senator elected on the populist ticket to fight the Democratic and Republican monopoly of that day. And what was happening was William McKinley was very craftily drawing the American people into the Spanish-American War. McKinley said, we've got to go in, and the newspapers all said, we've got to go in to rescue the Cubans against whom the Spaniards are committing some of the worst horrible atrocities that you can imagine. And by the way, the Spaniards were no angels in Cuba. But most of those atrocity stories were coming out of the febrile, fertile imaginations of Joseph Pulitzer and William Randolph Hearst and put into the penny press, and also coming out of U.S. Congress, too. And by the way, that's the same thing I'm saying here about Yugoslavia. To say that these atrocities are contrivances, for the most part, and propaganda, is not to say that Milosevic and the Serbs are blameless and that they're angels. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that we have to even be fans of any one side. Regardless of what you think of those people, certainly you can see that this bombing is a horrible thing. Now, Watson understood that this war was not in the interests of the American people. And he wrote this way. Who gets the benefit of the war, the Spanish-American War he's talking about? The bond seekers, the capitalists, the railroads. National bankers will profit by this war. The new bonds give them the basis for new banks, and their power is prolonged. Munition makers will profit by this war. The privileged classes all profit by this war. It takes the attention of the people off economic issues and perpetuates the unjust system for the emperor. And that's what you got. When you have a president, when you have a president who's in violation of the NATO Charter, who's in violation of the UN Charter, who's in violation of the War Powers Act, and who's in violation of the U.S. Constitution, where the founders of the Constitution said, that you cannot leave this decision of war to only one man, and if you leave it to the president, you no longer have a president, you no longer have a republic, you have an emperor, you have a king. If he can commit a whole nation to war and killing just by his own personal judgment, that's not a democracy. And they said there's got to be a debate, and there's got to be accountability. I remember during the Iraq War, a student said to me, well, that's where you and I differ, you see, because I have faith in the president. He was talking about George Bush. I said, excuse me, you have faith in the president? He said, I trust the president. I have faith in him. I said, what does that mean? You have faith in the president. This isn't religion. I mean, you have faith in him the way my Italian grandma had faith in St. Anthony? Do you have a picture of George Bush on your bureau? You light little candles to him, do you? You trust your president? You mean the way trust, meaning you give a certain, your destiny, a portion of your destiny to someone unquestioningly, as you might to very close loved ones or close relatives? And even them, check them out once in a while, right? No, democracy isn't about faith. It isn't about trust. It's about distrust. It's about accountability. It's about challenge. It's about debate. It's about exposure. It's about people becoming the active agents of their own lives, wanting to know what's going on. I don't have to trust you. I don't want to trust you. I want to see what's going on. Whose interests do you really represent, my friends? And we hear people say, including some of our progressive friends, our liberal friends, Yes, I know, the bombings don't work. I'm not supporting those bombings. The bombings are stupid, I know, but well, we've got to do something. Well, the bombings aren't stupid, they're profoundly immoral. The Serbian army, which is expelling people, by the way, many of those people are fleeing the bombings. If you read those accounts closely, you'll find a lot of these people are saying, we're fleeing the bombings. 50,000 Serbs have fled from Kosovo in the last 3 months. Are the Serbs ethnically cleansing themselves? The bombings do work. The bombings are working. They know what they're doing. Just because you don't know what they're doing doesn't mean they don't know what they're doing. Of course they know what they're doing. The bombings are achieving what they're supposed to, which is to destroy Yugoslavia, to turn it into a deindustrialized, beggar-poor nation of cheap labor, completely defensive to the interests of capital investors. This is a batterer's policy. The batterer is not irrational. The batterer uses violence against his helpless spouse. He uses just a certain amount of level to get a certain response and batters the person down. And that's what this is. It's a battering policy to destroy and smash them down, but smash them and splinter them so badly that they will never rise again and never come back again, even as a viable bourgeois nation, let alone socialist. The old arguments we hear with regard to Vietnam are coming back. Well, we can't just pull out. Oh, yes, we can. We can. We can do it with two words. You can pull out with just two words. It's called ceasefire. And then another two words, NATO disband.